Well, take your Bibles this morning to the book of Revelation chapter 13 as we continue in our series, What in the World Will Happen Next? Today we're going to talk about the coming world ruler. Many people want to know about leaders on the world scene, the men and women whose faces they see regularly online and on television. What are these people really like? Are they kind and caring, or are they cruel and calculating? Well, the Bible describes a coming world ruler who will be the most heinous world leader in the history of the universe. And we call this man the Antichrist. Even though the Antichrist is identified by that name only four times in Scripture and all by the Apostle John, he appears many more times under various aliases. He's also called the Prince that shall come in Daniel 9:26, the King of fierce countenance in Daniel 8:23, a vile person in Daniel 11:21, that man of sin in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, and the son of perdition in that same verse. He's called that wicked in 2 Thessalonians 2:8, and he is called, as we will see here in verse 1, the beast out of the sea. After the rapture of the church, not a single believer will exist anywhere on planet Earth. All true followers of Christ will have been caught up to meet Jesus Christ in the air. And that will make our entire planet fertile territory for Satan, the father of lies. At least for a while, until some people hear the truth and put their trust in Jesus Christ. Satan's vehicle for achieving world domination will be the Antichrist, the beast out of the sea. And as we will see here in chapter 13, there are actually two beasts. Let's look at, first of all, the beast out of the sea in verses 1 through 10. And you need to know that this is the Antichrist. This is the Antichrist. Now, John had written his first epistle about this coming world ruler. As I mentioned, all four references to the Antichrist are from the inspired pen of the Apostle John. But in 1 John 2:18, he said, "My little 2:18, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." Antichrist here in chapter 13 is described as a beast because of his ferociousness. He will be a murderous individual who especially will take his vengeance out on any who claim allegiance to the Lord God. And that will include all the saints of God who get saved during the tribulation period. Yes, there will be people saved during the tribulation period. In Revelation 11:7, we read this, "And when they shall have finished their testimony," speaking about the two witnesses, "the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them." His wicked career, which began in chapter 11, is fully developed beginning in chapter 13. He is a man of cunning, a man of craft, and a man of extreme cruelty. In chapter 12 of Revelation, the preceding chapter, we read of Satan's war versus God and his people. Right now, we understand, especially from the book of Job, chapter 1 and 2, that Satan has access to heaven where he accuses you and I before the throne of God day and night. But there is coming a time in chapter 12 of Revelation when there will be a war in heaven between Satan and his angels and Michael, the archangel, and his angels, and Satan will be cast out. We read in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 9, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon," that Satan, "and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Having been banned permanently from heaven, Satan will know that his time remaining is very brief. In verse 12 of chapter 12 of Revelation, we read these words, "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." To lead his last desperate onslaught against God, Satan will try to prevent Jesus Christ from setting up his earthly kingdom by setting up his own kingdom under the Antichrist, whom he will empower. Literally, we could say that the Antichrist will be Satan's Superman. He will be energized and empowered by the very devil himself. Revelation 13 reveals seven features of this ultimate world ruler. I want you to notice, first of all, capital letter A, his appearance. His appearance. If you'll notice in verses 1 and 2, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion." So he has 10 horns, each with a crown, and 7 heads, each with a blasphemous name. He looks like a leopard, with feet like a bear, and a mouth like a lion. Now, the beast needs to be understood as representing both a kingdom and a person. He must represent a kingdom because of the description in verse number 1. But he also represents a person because he is described with personal pronouns. In Daniel 7 and verse number 25, the Bible says, "And he," speaking of the Antichrist, "shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they," that is the saints of God, "shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time." He's talking about the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. In the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, it says that he opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So we talked about that. That is called the abomination of desolation in Daniel chapter 9 and in Matthew 24, 15. That takes place at the midway point of the tribulation period. So 3.5 years will be his reign of horror and terror, especially for the saints of God. Now, when the Bible says that he saw a beast rise up out of the sea, there's been a lot of speculation as to what that means. So I believe in a literal interpretation of Scripture. When you go to Revelation 11, 7, we saw that the beast ascends out of the bottomless pit. When you go to Revelation 17 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "And the beast thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition." I believe the best interpreter of Scripture is Scripture. So when it says, "Arise out of the sea," I believe the sea represents the bottomless pit, the abyss, where Satan will be chained for 1,000 years during the millennial kingdom. This beast comes up out of the bottomless pit or the abyss, and his family likeness to Satan becomes apparent. We read his description here, his appearance in verse 13, but if you'll go back to Revelation 12:3, I want you to notice the description of Satan. "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head." Notice the similarity to the family likeness here of the Antichrist to Satan. Now, horns in Scripture symbolize power and strength, both for attack and defense. And here they represent the power of the kings, the 10 kings who will rule under Antichrist's authority. Now, these 10 kings are also symbolized in Daniel chapter 2 as the 10 toes of Daniel's image, of the Nebuchadnezzar's image. The 10 toes of iron and clay are the 10 kings that we read about here. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 3, Daniel had a vision of four beasts coming up from the sea, different one from another. The first was like unto a lion and had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given unto it. That represents the kingdom of Babylon. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. It was higher on one side than the other. It speaks of the Medo-Persians empire. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. Those four wings were the four generals of Alexander. The beast had also four heads, and the dominion was given to it. That speaks of Greece. These were the successive empires following Babylon. Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece. But then there was a fourth beast. Verse 7, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and it grew and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. This is a picture of the Antichrist and his kingdom. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. In that same chapter, Daniel 7, verse 23, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. As I said, 10 represents this revived Roman Empire that will be the kingdom of the beast. All those rulers symbolized by the 10 horns will rule at the same time under the Antichrist. And the 7 heads represent 7 successive world empires: Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and then the 7th and final kingdom will be the Antichrist's world kingdom. As John examined the appearance of the beast, he saw that it incorporated the animals that Daniel saw in his image in chapter 7. Daniel saw them in chronological order: Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and then Rome. But looking back, John sees them in the reverse order. He sees the leopard, then he sees the bear, then he sees the lion. It's interesting, too, that this leopard, if you look at the colors of a leopard, they're brown, black, and white, which seems to represent the races of man, the major races of man. John looks at this beast, and he sees not only here what represents a kingdom, the last kingdom on earth, before the Lord's kingdom, his 1,000-year reign, but also it represents a person. We're going to see a little bit more about this person in just a second. So we've seen his appearance. Notice, secondly, his authority. Look at the last part of verse number 2 here, Revelation 13:2. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat, or his throne, and great authority. So he is empowered by the very devil himself. His authority and power come from Satan himself. In Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast under the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. The dragon gave him his power. The Antichrist will be in league with Satan and energized by Satan. In Daniel 8:23, the Bible says, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance, this is the Antichrist, and understanding dark sentences. In other words, he grasps crafty schemes. He has deceit written all over him. He shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. What's it telling us? It's telling us that he is going to be energized by Satan. He will stand up as a powerful man, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and holy people, that's the Jews. And through his policy also he shall cause craft or deceit to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. Remember, he's going to sign a peace treaty with Israel, at the beginning of the tribulation period, but he'll break it at the midway point. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. No human is going to do him in. God's going to do him in. That's like that stone that hit the image in his feet, that stone that comes from heaven. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about that next Sunday, the second coming of Christ, Revelation chapter 19. This final satanic world empire will be inseparable from the demon-possessed man who leads it, an evil, wicked, blasphemous individual who is empowered by Satan. Some people believe, because of his title, the Son of Perdition, that he will be Judas Iscariot reincarnated. I don't know, but that's one of his titles, the Son of Perdition. We do know this, that Satan entered into Judas, and Satan will enter into this man called the Antichrist. We see his authority. Notice number three, his acclaim here in verse number three. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Now, one of the heads could be speaking of a kingdom that comes back, or it could speak of the Antichrist himself. Inasmuch as Satan is the great counterfeiter, I tend to agree with many commentators who feel like the Antichrist will be assassinated, he will be killed, and he will be resurrected. Verse 3, I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Some believe that he won't actually be killed. It'll be just a deception because of what it says in 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 through 12. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders, that he only appears to have died and appears to have been resurrected. Whether or not he will actually die and actually be resurrected, I don't know, but this is what it's speaking about. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, you see, the saved won't be taken in by him. Those whose names are written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, but these unbelievers will be taken in by him because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Whatever actually happens, unsaved people will believe that this Antichrist has conquered death, that he has transcended death. And this is, again, a counterfeit of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Remember that Satan is not an originator. He's a counterfeiter. Amen. Antichrist's apparent power over death will win him world acclaim because the Bible says, and all the world wondered after the beast. Notice that leads to verse 4, and that speaks of his adoration. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? These words are reminiscent of what they would cry out before Caesar. Who is like unto Caesar? Who is able to make war with him? The entire world will be astonished and will worship the beast. In fact, he will demand that worship. We read in verse 4 of 2 Thessalonians 2 that he sits in the temple showing himself that he is God, demanding the worship of people. And by worshiping Antichrist, unbelievers will be actually worshiping Satan, who is the real power behind him. That's something that Satan has always sought after. Satan has always wanted to be like God and be worshiped. Notice E, his arrogance in verses 5 and 6. And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's the last 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy to blaspheme God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. So he blasphemes for this period of 42 months. And his arrogance, by the way, was predicted by Daniel. We read it in Daniel 7:25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. In Daniel 11:36, and the king shall do according to his will and shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that that is determined shall be done. I want you to know something, that God has this rascal on a leash, and he can do nothing but what God allows him to do until his time is done. Notice his activity here in Revelation 13 and verse number 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Once again, notice it was given unto him. I want you to notice that the Antichrist can only do what God gives him permission to do. Just like Satan. Satan can only do what God gives him permission to do. We saw that in the case of Job. You can touch him, but you can't take his life. Now, because the saints of God who get saved during the tribulation will refuse to worship the beast, he will make war with them and overcome them. If you go back to Revelation 6, 9, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. In Revelation 17 and verse number 6, and I saw the woman drunken with blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. What's going to happen as a result of this Antichrist's rise to power and demanding the worship of every person on earth? Those who refuse to worship him will be persecuted and killed. Daniel 7:25, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and dividing of times. Again, this persecution will begin at the midway point of the tribulation period, when the Antichrist breaks his covenant with Israel, as we saw last week in Daniel 9:27. And this is what Jesus was referring to in Matthew 24:15. So this question comes to mind, is the world today looking for such a ruler? I believe they are. I read this recently, quote, as the world continues to grapple with the deadly consequences of the COVID-19 pandemic, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said only one thing is certain in its wake, quote, a new model, here's what he says, a new model of global governance is coming, and the globalist body is doing all it can to hurry its arrival. Did you get that? A new model of global governance is coming, and the globalist body is doing all they can to hurry its arrival. A one world government, a one world system, a one world currency, a one world church. It is the Antichrist's kingdom. Notice his admirers in verses 8 through 10. His admirers. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. The other is, he that's led into captivity will go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and faith of the saints. What it's simply saying is that these people who are, if you're alive as a believer, if you get saved during the tribulation period and you're alive and you do not worship the beast, you will be killed. You will die a martyr's death. Unbelievers, those whose names are not written in the book of life, will perish because, as we saw, they rejected the love of the truth that they might be saved, and for that reason they will be damned. Those who were killed rather than worship the beast must be steadfast even in the face of persecution and death. Revelation 14:12 puts it this way, here is the patience of the saints, here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Those who were saved during the tribulation period will be encouraged to display endurance and faithfulness, which they will have to do. Otherwise, it'll be at the cost of their life. So this is the verses 1 through 10 here, the beast out of the sea. This is the, and really, if you want to read more about the Antichrist, read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Daniel 7 through 11, and just study those passages. But without warning, John tells us and gives us a picture of another beast. Notice here the beast out of the earth in verses 11 through 18. Revelation 13, 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. This is the false prophet. Satan has now assembled his unholy trinity. You have Satan, the counterfeit of the Father, the Antichrist, the counterfeit of Jesus Christ, and the false prophet, the counterfeit of the Holy Spirit, the unholy trinity. In Revelation 16 and verse number 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Satan has now assembled his dream team. And this false prophet will eventually suffer the same fate as that of the Antichrist. In Revelation 19 and verse number 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone.
Amen.
Amen. And also in Revelation 20 and verse number 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. This is 1,000 years later. They're still there. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now you need to understand that while the Antichrist will be a political leader and will be a Gentile, because he represents all of these Gentile kingdoms, and this is the times of the Gentiles that we're in, the beast that comes out of the land, the earth, will be a Jew who will convince the Jews to give their allegiance because of his miracles to this Gentile, quote, Messiah, this false Christ, this Antichrist. John's vision of the false prophet reveals three key elements about his role. Notice, first of all, his person in verse number 11. Revelation 13, 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. He is similar to what Jesus warned about in Matthew 7, 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. This false prophet, like Antichrist, will be Satan's mouthpiece. He will look like a lamb, but speak like a dragon. And he will force the world to worship the Antichrist. He will be a deceiver. He will come on the scene as a religious leader, but he is nothing more than a tool of Satan himself. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, Paul puts it this way, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. We see something about his person. Notice in verses 12 through 14, next, his power. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, that's the Antichrist, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. Who did that? Elijah. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. We find again the counterfeit. Just like when Moses threw down his rod and it became a serpent, the magicians of Pharaoh were able to duplicate it. Satan has power, but only limited by what God gives him. But we find here that this false prophet does great wonders. He makes fire come down from heaven. He gives life to a statue, the image of the Antichrist in verse 14. He'll be able to perform great signs and wonders, signs that not only mimic the miracles of Christ, but those of the two witnesses. In chapter 11 of Revelation, the Bible says, if any man will hurt them, the two witnesses, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the power of their in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with plagues as often as they will. In verse 11, and after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and with great fear fell upon those who saw them. This speaks of the fact that those two witnesses of God will be killed by the Antichrist, but God will raise them up. Well, we find here also a counterfeit because of this deadly wound that was healed. We see this over and over again in Satan's tactics. He is a deceiver. He uses counterfeit measures. True believers will not be deceived by this character because they will know the truth and be protected by God. You know, here's the thing. John chapter 10 tells us, Jesus said, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say to you, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. You see, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will not worship this false Christ, because they will recognize him as a stranger, as a deceiver. Verse 14, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So we see something here about this false prophet and his power. Notice finally his program here in verses 15 through 18. His program, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Verse 16, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Yesterday, we got to go up to Ocala to watch our granddaughter, Ava, run in a 5K, and she did so good. And as we were leaving there, just driving down the highway, we stopped at a stoplight, and a black Jeep pulled up next to me. I was in the lane closest to the curb, and this was in the lane closest to the median. Black Jeep, and he had on the side of his Jeep, he had Satan, he had the pentagram, the two horns sticking up, and he had 666 in flaming letters on the side of his vehicle. And I thought to myself, loser! You joined the wrong team, buddy. But just as God's servants were sealed with a mark to protect them, so we find another counterfeit now. Those who follow the beast will receive a mark. They will receive a mark in their foreheads or in their hand called the mark of the beast. In Revelation 7, 2 and 3, and I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels and to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. Now, this is talking about the 144,000. 12,000 Jews out of each of the 12 tribes who will go and evangelize the earth. But just as they were sealed, we find that apparently Antichrist will have a universal designation consisting of his name with a numbering system. Now, I know that you are aware of RFID, radio frequency identification. In fact, if you carry a credit card, you've got an RFID chip right there in your credit card. So they can now implant an RFID device into the skin through a syringe, and it's about the size of a grain of rice. It's called biochip technology. Also, you need to be aware of some terms today called gene editing. I wish I had time to go into all this. There's a company called Moderna who has been granted money, I believe, by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to develop a COVID vaccine using genetically modified RNA and nanotechnology, which will essentially be able to monitor the host body for a whole range of information. Another blog that I read, Gene Editing, Moderna, and Transhumanism, as gene-based mRNA vaccines for Moderna are being designed and tested at warp speeds. This is also bringing the debate over transhumanism into the forefront. Transhumanism is a type of futurist philosophy aimed at transforming the human species by means of biotechnologies. Basically, part of this is they are developing, the military is developing exoskeletons, kind of like, and I know this sounds like Marvel Comics, but Iron Man, where they will have these suits that with bionic limbs that perform better than human limbs, and then they add artificial intelligence through BCI. BCI is brain-computer interface, where it's basically robotics and using nanotechnology to empower men. That what they're saying is future militaries may look like human beings, but they'll be integrated with machines to become armies of Iron Men. Now, when you stop and think about it, could this be the 10 toes, iron mixed with clay, human and mechanical? I don't know. I'm not a prophet, but I'm just telling you some of the stuff I've read. We see his program. The exact system of 666 is unclear at this time, so it's really unwise and unprofitable to speculate beyond what is said. I mean, volumes have been written in an attempt to interpret the meaning of John's word 666. The Hebrew, Greek, and Latin alphabets all assign numerical values to each letter of the alphabet. Using those numerical figures, all kinds of people have been identified as the Antichrist: Nero, Napoleon, Mussolini, Hitler, Stalin, even John F. K. John Fitzgerald Kennedy was identified as possibly, and when he was assassinated, there were people who were thinking he was going to come back to life. The problem with this numbering system, it is totally subjective and easily manipulated to come up with many different names to fit the interpreter's leanings. Others have suggested that the number 7 is the perfect number. It's the number of completion, the number of God. We read about the 7 spirits of God. We read about the 7 horned lamb of God. But in contrast, the number 6 is the number for man. Man was created on the 6th day. He has to work 6 out of 7 days. A Hebrew slave could not serve for more than 6 years and so forth. Now, using the number 6 one time could make the statement that the Antichrist is a man. Using the number 6 a second time could emphasize that statement, and using the number 6 a third time would make it superlative and make the statement emphatic in the same way that it was said of God by Isaiah: holy, 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 kadosh, 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 holy, holy, holy. So 666, man, man, man. It could just simply be when John was saying that, he wasn't saying 666, he was saying 666. He is simply a man. He is not God. He is not holy. He is not the Savior. He is a fraud. He is an imposter. He is empowered by Satan. As I said, we can't be absolutely certain at this point in time what 666 means. I wish I could tell you some great revelation of what it means. I don't know. I don't know what kind of system it will be. But we know that without that mark, nobody will be able to buy or sell. You won't be able to travel. You won't be able to go anywhere or do anything, because that chip will be, that whatever kind of technology they have, that will be scanned, and that all of your information will be right there on your forehead or on your hand. While we don't know everything about that mark, we do know this from Revelation 13. The Antichrist wants to be and will be the leader of a global government, which will most likely be headquartered in the Middle East. The Antichrist wants to be and will be the object of worship in a global religion, most likely Islam. And the Antichrist wants to and will control a global economic system and dominate the entire world. But I want you to be of good cheer, beloved, because Revelation 13 is not the end of the book. Amen? 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 Both Satan and his dream team will be crushed. Now, I realize that the picture of the of the future that I presented in today's message is not necessarily a pretty one. So why should we even worry about it? Well, to start with, I think we as Christ followers need to know what is going on in this world concerning this dreaded person and his program. It ought to challenge us to lead careful, godly lives and to evangelize a lost and dying world on its way to destruction. And finally, rather than looking for the Antichrist, and people today that are going around looking for the Antichrist, trying to discover who's the Antichrist, rather than looking for the Antichrist, we ought to be looking for Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what the Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Titus 2:13. You know, Jesus told us what to do and what not to do in this period of waiting. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Trusting Christ is the only certain and absolute guarantee that when he comes for his own at the rapture, you will be saved from personally experiencing the evil of the Antichrist and the doom of all those who follow this man of sin. Instead, you'll be transported to glory and into the Lord's glorious presence, never to experience the horrors that Daniel and John have identified in their prophecies. So, saints of God, let me tell you something. Keep looking up. Amen? Keep looking up. What this world needs is Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. And if you've not received God's Son, do it today. Don't wait. Be saved today. Father, thank you for being able to look into this chapter and see about this coming world ruler who will deceive so many, which will lead to their eternal doom. God, I pray for someone today who may be listening who has never trusted Christ, that they would realize how close we are to those times. And they would not say no to Jesus any longer, but today they would open their heart, confess their sin, repent of it, and acknowledge Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of their life. I pray that as Christians, Lord, you'd help us to realize that we don't have time to waste, that we must work while it is day because the night is coming when no man can work. Help us to do all we can not to be invested in what this world can offer, but to realize that we answer to a higher call, a higher purpose, and we're to keep our eyes on Jesus. We're to lift our eyes, we're to set our hearts on that which is above, not those things on the earth. Pray you'd have your will and way in this invitation time. If there's someone today without Christ, may they come today. If they're watching today, may they, right where they're at, ask for forgiveness of their sins and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the one who died for them, was buried, and rose again. They would not be taken in by this imposter called the Antichrist. These things I pray and ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.